Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. The name of the message is A Certain Man. A Certain Man. John chapter 5. We'll read all the way to verse 18, from verse 1 to verse 18, but our text will be found from verses 1 to 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the trouble of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now what a miracle has just occurred. And now look at the self-righteous religious Jews. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. The Lord of the Sabbath had healed a man on the Sabbath day, and the self-righteous Jews are ticked off, not knowing that Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, not knowing that Christ is the Messiah, but only upset because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. He'd done a miracle. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, what a privilege and what an honor it is for we to gather together each week and to hear the gospel. And it's an honor and a privilege, I'm telling you, it is. It's an honor when we sit down and listen to a message, and myself too, when I sit down and listen to a message, and when the men are here at the conference and preaching the gospel, and I'm feeding and feasting too, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to come and to hear the gospel preached and proclaimed each week. It's an honor and a privilege to preach the gospel, but it's also an honor and a privilege to be given ears to hear. It is. To be given ears to hear and to be able to rejoice in the gospel, because not everybody rejoices in the gospel. Not everybody has ears to hear the gospel. And it's an honor and privilege for God's people to rejoice in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to rejoice in our Savior. It is in the preaching of the gospel and the reading of the scriptures that God meets with his people and comforts us. He meets with us and comforts us. He builds us up. He teaches us about himself. And he strengthens us for our journey. The journey that we are on, we his people, through this world. We saw this morning, we're just strangers. Just passing through this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, in glory. And as we hear the gospel preached and proclaimed, it gives us strength. And it also prepares us for glory. Because remember, a few months back we looked at that we're stones being made ready. And one day we'll be made ready. We'll be with our Lord in glory. It's wonderful. We'll be with him forever. In his presence forever. And here before us in our text, we have brought before us one of the Lord's miracles of how he heals a certain man who had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. Now in the miracles which our Lord and Savior performed, the gospel of God's free grace to sinners is on display. Man's inability to heal himself is evident through these pictures, through the miracles which he performs. And a mighty work of God must be done. And it's God and God alone who does it. By and through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate in the flesh. And we're going to see this in the passage here before us today. We have right here before us in this portion of Scripture a very clear picture of man's inability to save themselves. Man's absolute inability to save themselves. And God's grace being bestowed upon one whom the Lord chooses. One whom the Lord chooses. And think of how in the various miracles of our Lord, we'll just mention a few here, with certain people, a different attribute of God's saving grace is on display. God's sovereign, almighty power to save by his grace is on display in the raising of Lazarus from the grave. The effectual, invincible call of his sheep through the preaching of the gospel is also on display in the rising of Lazarus. When he said this, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And what happened? Lazarus came forth, didn't he? It was an effectual, invincible call. And that's what happens to every one of God's saints. We're called through the preaching of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit draws us to Christ. Think of this, when he called our name by the preaching of the gospel. What did we do? We came forth, didn't we? We came forth. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of his power. By his sovereign, almighty power, beloved. The scriptures declare, turn if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. The scriptures declare this. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. The gospel preacher doesn't preach himself. He preaches Christ, the only Savior of sinners. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. God's preachers are servants, just like every other believer. Look at this. For God who commanded the light, it's God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, by his almighty sovereign power, commands the light to shine out of darkness. This is what happens in every single believer when we're converted, regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, there's a leper which comes to Christ and proclaims that if Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Another miracle. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. If you will, Lord. If you will. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Again, we see God's sovereign, almighty power at work. And we see here, though, when the Lord proclaims, I will, this shows that God by his power wills to save those whom he will. Those whom he chooses. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50, we have a woman who is a sinner come to Christ. And she's washing his feet with her tears. Look at Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 38. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now it was customary then for the person to have the visitor's feet washed. It was part of their custom. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed the feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And then look at the last verse in Luke chapter 7, verse 50. The Lord says to her, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. This shows the necessity of God-given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In this miracle, or in this portion of Scripture there in Luke chapter 7, it shows the necessity of God-given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the miracles which we see in the Scriptures, which Christ performed, set forth who he was. Who he was. He's God incarnate in the flesh. They set forth that he's God incarnate in the flesh. And they set him forth as the one who's worthy of all glory, honor, and praise in the salvation of sinners. So let's consider this wonderful passage. We'll see God's sovereign, almighty power on display. Back to John chapter 5. We'll see God's sovereign, almighty power on full display. And the inability of man to heal himself is the impotent man is a picture of a sinner who's dead in trespasses and sins. And we know that that's the state of every one of us when we come into this world, right? Scripture declares we're dead in trespasses and sins. That's our natural state. So we're just like this impotent man. We can't do anything. We have no ability to save ourselves. Contrary to the lies that are told by people that you can save yourself, you cannot. You cannot save yourself. Salvation is of the Lord, and the Lord alone, and in the Lord alone. Look at John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Jesus was in Jerusalem for a religious feast. It doesn't tell us which one. Doesn't tell us which one, because that's not what's most important. But we see in our text that he went to the northeast section of the city near the sheep gate to a pool which is called Bethesda with its five porches around the pool. And we will see that our Lord had a divine appointment with a certain man. He had a divine appointment with a certain man. Verse 3, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Let us note that there's not just a few folks here. There's a great multitude. There's a great multitude, the Scriptures declare. Some are blind, some are halt, and some are withered. Some are impotent, which means that they were sick and weak persons. What a picture of we who are sick with sin in our natural state. Sinners from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. Unable to save ourselves. And in a state of unregeneracy, sin has made us impotent. And we are unable to keep the law of God. We cannot keep it because we don't have the power or the ability to keep it. Nor can any one of us atone for even one of our sins. Not one. Not one of our transgressions. We cannot redeem ourselves. from the curse of the law. And we cannot save ourselves. We're just like this man, lying there. And there are some folks here also that are blind. Well, in our natural state, we were blind to the things of God, weren't we? Ignorant of who God is and blind to the true knowledge of who Christ is. And blind to salvation only through Him and in Him. And sinners in their unregenerate state are blind to the plague of their own hearts. And we were at one time. We come into this world dead in trespasses and sins, and we are blind to the plague of sin in our own hearts. We think everybody else is worse than us. We do. But no. All are dead in trespasses and sins in their natural state. Blind to the things of God. Blind to the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Blind to who the Father is. Blind to who the Son is. Blind to the Holy Spirit of God and His work which must be wrought upon the sinner. Blind to the truth of the gospel and salvation in Christ alone. And it says there's halt and lame ones. The halt, which are lame. They're lame. They cannot move. What a picture of man in our natural state. We're lame from a fall, aren't we? We fell in Adam. And the whole reason why we're dead in trespasses and sins, because we're sons of Adam. We're lame. We're blind, lame. We have no ability to save ourselves in our natural state. And the scriptures also mention the withered. These are they who are paralyzed in some way, unable to move. Unable to move certain limbs. Or they have one limb or another that's withered up. Their arms and their legs are so withered that they're not able to use them properly. And we see that these are the people around this pool in various forms of infirmity. And notice in verse 4, they're waiting for the moving of the water. Why? Because our text tells us, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the trembling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. Now note, the text which follows this, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. A certain man. A certain man, the scripture declares, is in this place at this time, all by God's providence. All by God's providence. All by God's direction. And we see in verse 1 that our Lord went to this place. Our Lord went to... After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Why? This man, this certain man, has a divine appointment with the Lord of glory. One of God's sheep. One of the Lord's sheep is over there. A certain man, he's called in Scripture. Doesn't give us his name, but it says a certain man. And look what John chapter 5, verse 6 says. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now note, our Lord looks upon this man lying there. There's a multitude of people there, right? Scripture declares that, a great multitude of people. But the Lord passes by all them. He goes to this certain man. Goes by all those other folks. Goes to this certain man. My. And this man is only different because our Lord's eyes are upon him. And our Lord saw him lying there, unable to help himself, with no ability. What a picture of divine election. one of his sheep. Christ has looked upon us since eternity. He's looked upon his people since eternity. And he's still looking at us and watching us. He's our shepherd. And think of this. How long has he loved us for? From eternity. Here's one of his sheep. And he looked upon him. Who made this certain man to differ from all the others? Only God. He's no different than any of the others, right? They're all lying there. They're all in various states of infirmity. But the Lord looked upon this one man. He looked upon this one man. Passed by all the others. Now let's bring this right home for us. Who made you to differ, beloved of God, from the multitude of humanity all around us? It's amazing. Who made us to differ from all the people in our lives from when we were just little till we're right now? Who's made us to differ from all the people that we rub shoulders with, that we work with, that we see in everyday life? Only God. Only God's made us to differ. Only the Lord. What a picture of salvation by the grace of God alone. What a picture we have here of a lost sinner who's unable to save himself. With the sickness of sin, no way to cure himself. And our Lord saw him lying there. And look at what our text proclaims. And knew that he had been now a long time in that case. As far as we know, the Lord had never talked to this man before. But he's God incarnate in the flesh, beloved. The Lord knew that he had been like that for 38 years. What a comfort for the believer to know that the Lord knows everything about us. That there's not one thing that we go through in this life from the moment we breathe our first breath, even in the womb, that he knows us. What a comfort for God's people. That he's ever, all the trials and struggles that we went through in our lives. And I know that every believer has their own trials and their own struggles. Even in our lost, unregenerate state, his eye was upon us. Because the Lord's looking at this man in the state that he's in. No way to help himself. The Lord knows everything. He knows every heartache we go through. He knows the silent suffering that we go through. He knows his people intimately. And note, the Lord asks him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? And note the response of the impotent man. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Now what a miserable state this man's in. He can't help himself, and he doesn't have anyone else to help him. But little does he know the one standing before him is the great physician. Little does he know that the one standing before him is the only one he needs. The only help he'll ever need. What a miserable state he's in. And this is the state that our Lord finds this man. And what a miserable state we were in, dead in trespasses and sins, when the Lord found us. The only one who can help him is here before him. The only one. And each week, gospel preachers get up and preach and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one who can help sinners. The only one. This man is lame. He cannot get into the water before the others. He has no one to help him. And he proclaims to the Lord, another step it down before me. And here we see in our next verse, God's sovereign will in the saving of a sinner. As our Lord tells this man, by his sovereign will and by his sovereign power, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And note, our Lord and Savior walks to this place. And again, there's a great multitude all around there. And he walks right by all of them. And he walks right to this certain man. There was people all around him in various sicknesses, forms of sicknesses. And he goes to this one man. This one man. Wilt thou be made whole? And the man didn't even say yes. He went on to tell the Lord that he had no man to help him to get in the pool. He just complained. And he did not answer the Lord's question. But oh, the sovereign grace of God in Christ. Note what we see here, beloved, the free grace of God bestowed upon this sinner. What a picture we have here of God's elect in grace as Christ went to the sinner and this sinner alone. And he didn't say, please accept me. Did he? Right? Like religious folks say, just accept Jesus. Just walk down that aisle and pray a prayer. No, God, by his almighty power, by his sovereign almighty power, worked a miracle of grace upon this man. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. He passed by all the others and his eyes were fixed upon this man alone. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. Is this not a picture of God's distinguishing grace? The fact that he went to this certain man and this certain man alone. Picture of God's distinguishing grace in the salvation of a sinner. The only difference between this man and everyone else who was lying there was that the Lord sought him out. Just like he does for every one of his lost sheep. He seeks us out. We never seek him. But he seeks out his lost sheep. Christ did not see this lame man seeking him or making the decision for him. No, he saw him lying there impotent. And that's just where he found us. In the same state as this man right here. Dead in trespasses and sins. Impotent, unable to save ourselves. What a miracle of God's sovereign electing distinguishing grace is here before us. What a picture of God's sovereign electing distinguishing grace in the salvation of a sinner by and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone is set forth right here before us. Let us look a little further down this chapter. Look at John chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Now look at this last verse here, and think of this man sitting there, and think of the Lord passing by all those other people, right? He passed by all those other people, and came to this certain man. John chapter 5, verse 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Whom he will. God has mercy upon whom he have mercy. And God's people marvel in this. We marvel in God's distinguishing, electing grace. The Son quickeneth whom he will. What a picture of that we have before us today. The Lord passed by again, the multitude of people there, and sought out this one man. And look at what he says unto him. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Remember, Lazarus, come forth. Commands him to come forth. And what does Lazarus come flying out of that tomb? Well, as fast as he's all bound up, but you know what I mean. What God commands, it happens. It happens. Oh, my. Rise up. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. The Savior walks to this place. Again, there's a multitude of people all around, men and women, in various sicknesses, state of sickness. And he says, wilt thou be made whole to this man? And then he says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. There's a multitude waiting for an angel to come down and stir that water. And the one who commands the angels, the one who is the captain of the Lord's host, is among them, and they do not know it. They have no idea at all. The one who has all authority and power, and if it was his will to heal them all, he would have, is walking in their midst, standing in their midst. The one who can give them perfect healing, and they do not know it. They're waiting for the stirring of the water. And the great physician is walking among them. And he comes to this certain man. This certain man. And says to him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Salvation is only in Christ and Christ alone. And God's people praise God for this. We praise God that he seeks out his sheep. Because again, we know we'd never seek him out. We'd be like these people lying around in their infirmities. Looking at the water rather than looking at the great physician. That's us. That's us. That's all humanity in his natural state right here before us. And the Lord comes to one of his lost sheep. And he says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Oh my. What a Savior, what a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is only in him and by his almighty power and grace. What a picture of God's salvation in and through Christ alone. And God's people praise God that he chose us in Christ. Christ has purchased his people upon Calvary's cross. What was the cost? The shedding of his own precious blood. And the scriptures declare the life of the flesh is in the blood. He gave his life for sinners. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God dying in the place of sin. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ has purchased his people upon the cross at Calvary. And the Holy Spirit regenerates us. All because the Father chose us in Christ. We saw that in Sunday school this morning. And note our Lord commands this man to do something that he cannot naturally do. You notice that? Rise, take up thy bed and walk. He's lame. He's impotent. He can't move. But this is no mere man commanding him to do this. This is the Lord of glory. This is God incarnate in the flesh. Commanding him to do something that is impossible with man. But it's possible with God, because when he commands, power comes with that command. And immediately, Now think of this. This man had been in this state for 38 years. When I was 12 years old, I went through a bunch of operations. And I had a cast from here to my toes. For 6 months, I was in that cast. Now, when they took that cast off me, I couldn't walk. I was in a wheelchair. And then I had to go on these bars, and I had to learn how to walk all over again. You know why? Because there's no strength in my legs. Because the muscles wouldn't. But think of this man here, though. 38 years he's been in this situation. He has no ability to just get up. But God's perfect healing. Oh my, look at this. Look at this, beloved. He instantly receives strength. Instantly the muscles are working. Instantly. Instantly. And immediately the man was made what? Whole. He's made whole. When God commands the light to shine in the darkness, how many of our sins are forgiven at Calvary's cross? All of them. We're made whole, aren't we? Huh? By the precious blood of Christ. We're born again by the Holy Spirit. Now, we still sin, don't we? We don't believe in sinless perfection here. We're still sinners until we get the glory. But what does God look at us now? Who does God see us in? Christ. And he sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ, made whole. He's beautiful, beloved. He's beautiful. But this man was made whole. And what did he do? He picked up his bed. And he walked. Those legs hadn't moved for 38 years. I remember how hard it was for 6 months, struggling on bars to try to walk again. 38 years, and then he's up walking. It's a miracle of grace, beloved. Think of this. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and God commanded the light to shine in the darkness. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and we run to Christ. We run to Christ. We run to the one we never wanted to run to before. Oh, my. And walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. What power is on display here, beloved? These words were spoken by this man. The words, what power is on display here is as soon as these words were spoken, this man walked and he picked up his bed. Immediately. Oh, this is incredible. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. What a miracle. What a miracle we have in this picture today of the power of God going forth with the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's God in the flesh. We've seen this before, though. It shouldn't surprise us, but we always marvel at God's miracles and his power and his authority. Look at Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. 1 to 6. And he entered in again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether you would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. They're always trying to catch him up and trip him up. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, and when it says anger there, when our Lord's angry, it's righteous anger. There's no sin. No sin. It's righteous anger. No sin. When we're angry, we sin. Being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. Look at this. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So with the command comes power. He's God incarnate in the flesh. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel and the Herodians against him that they might destroy him. Same thing happens here as happens in John chapter 5. The religious folks are going, they're angry with our Lord performing a miracle. Look at John chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Again, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now nothing but divine power Nothing but divine power can enable one who had been crippled for so many years to move his limbs and to carry a burden too. So not only is he walking, but he's carrying a burden. Oh my. All at once. But again, this is the Lord of glory who commanded this man to do this. And what did this man do? And immediately the man was made whole. All by the power of Christ. Remember? And we know it's all by the power of Christ, because this man was sitting there in a state and couldn't help himself. And immediately the man was made whole. When God saves a sinner, oh. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. If you're here lost, the Lord Jesus Christ can save you without you moving a muscle. We see that here, don't we? We see that right here. Because if any works are involved in your so-called salvation, it's not salvation. No. But salvation's all a grace. We're either saved all by the grace of God in Christ, or we're not saved at all. And immediately this man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. What a miracle of grace. This is what occurs when God saves a sinner. We are lying in our sinfulness, impotent and unable to save ourselves. And the Lord comes to us. He comes to us, just like he came to this certain man. Certain man. And saves us by his grace. And we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. And we rise up, like this man, we rise up in newness of life. We rise up in newness of life. All by his almighty power. And then for the rest of our time on this earth, we praise his name. We give him all the glory for what he's done for us. And then when we get the glory, we'll praise his name forever for what he's done for us. What a Savior, what a Redeemer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again that we could look in thy word. And oh, what a wonderful picture we see here today. Picture of a man who could not help himself. What a picture of us dead in our trespasses and sins. And Lord Jesus, you came to us. You come to every one of your sheep. Oh, Lord, and you tell us to rise up and walk. And we walk in the newness of life, born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And we praise your name for your mercy and goodness and grace to us in our wondrous Savior. And you, who are the Redeemer, the Purchaser, the Keeper of our souls. Oh, Lord, may we glorify you this day. May we leave here rejoicing, we who are redeemed. And if it's your will, may you draw in one of your lost sheep. Oh, Lord, if it's your will, may you save one of your lost sheep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.